I want to thank you, everybody, for gathering today. I want to specifically welcome all of you people who are joining us for church online this morning. Thank you so much for tuning in from wherever you are, at a laptop, computer, or a tablet, or a phone. We are so glad that you are here to join us for worship this morning. Now, surrounded with me are just a handful of essential people who are here this morning. So I'm going to be speaking to them and occasionally inviting you to participate in with us online. So thank you so much for finding us, for tuning in, and making sure that you have made your effort to gather together for church on this Sunday morning. It's really good to be with you, and it has certainly been a wild couple days as a church. You know, we really have been paying attention to things that have been going on around our country and around the world and in our local communities, and we are very thankful for all of you who have been praying for us, and very thankful for all of you who have expressed your concerns and also encouragements to really stay focused on what it is that we're doing and why we exist. And so I really don't have an opinion on it today. I'm not here on the platform this morning to tell you what I think is right or wrong. I am not an expert on these things. I have read a bunch of articles. I've watched some live streams of some of our government officials, both national and local, and certainly have been processing in my own mind some of the things that have been going on. And so what I can offer you this morning, though, is something that I feel very, very confident about, is we're going to pray for the people in our community, and particularly if you are out there online listening with us this morning or watching the service from wherever you're at, I want to invite you now in this moment, regardless if you feel concerned or if you feel safe in this moment, to join us now in prayer for all of those in our community, both local and national, as well as those in our Calvary community who might be concerned or even might be at risk. We have a responsibility to do this. So why don't you guys just join us right now in praying for our brothers and sisters. Lord, we recognize that in these uncertain times, we are not experts. We all have opinions and thoughts. Some of our confidence has been replaced by fear, and it's really hard to know what to do with that. But we thank you that when we pray, you listen to us. We thank you that our fears are no match to your Spirit's work and presence in our life. And so we offer our concerns to you, God. And specifically, Calvary Bible Fellowship Church prays for all of those who are in the congregation here and who call this church home. We pray for anybody in this congregation who might be susceptible to getting sick, who might be sitting somewhere right now just really overcome and overwhelmed with fear. God, we pray that you would put your hands of protection around all the people in our community. We certainly ask in a bold way for you to guard us from becoming sick or losing our faith to fear. And I pray, God, that your Spirit's presence might be felt and known among all of those whose confidence has been replaced by fear today. And I ask that you would really reveal yourself to people, allowing us the privilege of walking through this season of life alongside of you. And may we never, ever feel alone right now, God. And so we pray for our community, all of those all along the 422 corridor. We pray for our local government officials, our school district superintendents, and all of those who are involved in the process of in the medical community, who are caring for those who are sick. God, we pray that you would continue to make them brave, continue to give them wisdom beyond their understanding to help us all move in the same direction. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, thank you so much for gathering here today. We are going to continue our series on cultural issues, and this series is a series that has been formed by a series of questions that we gathered through a survey. I believe it was earlier last year, and some people submitted some questions about some things that we were able to address in a previous sermon series, but we decided to come back and address some more questions. And so we just felt like it'd be really great to continue that series that Pastor Wayne launched last Sunday. And and continue on through a series of topics. Now, last week we talked a lot about just a general perspective regarding the Word of God, our involvement in society and culture and what culture is. And today we're going to start hitting some specific topics along the way. So thank you so much for joining with us. Thank you so much for tuning in and getting some perspective on some of the cultural issues that have been brought to us that our congregation here at Calvary and even beyond have expressed some concern and issue. And so today we're going to talk about the environment. And the environment is awesome, and it's something that we live in and among and definitely affects everybody. So I'm going to take a poll, both of those in the room and also for you all online. I'm going to take a poll of how many of us in this room are trained, educated climatologists. I don't even know if I'm saying that right. Climatologists. Let me just try that again. Anybody? Show of hands. Okay, I have no show of hands here in the room. And my guess is, because I can see through the camera, that we have no climatologists listening to us online as well. Okay, now, how about I imagine we're going to get a few hands here. How many of you would say that you have a formal education in some area of science? Some area of science? Anybody? Okay. I would imagine that there's a bunch of hands up at home of some different areas. There's lots of different fields of science and study. Okay, now, when it comes to the area of the environment, particularly when it comes to climate and science and whether or not global warming is true or climate change is happening or whether it's all attributed to man-made factors, how many of you would say that you have an opinion on whether or not climate change or global warming is caused by man-made issues or causes? Show of hands. Okay, all right. Every hand in the room just went up here, and I would imagine a bunch of hands went up online at home as well, that we are a people that have opinions about what's happening in the world around us, and that is exactly why we are addressing that as a part of this cultural issues sermon series. So, the environment is not just a cultural issue, it's a political issue. The environment is not just a cultural issue, it's a personal one. We've learned too, if you've ever had a conversation with someone about it, the environment is an emotional issue. The environment is also an educational issue. It is also an economic and a scientific issue, but we're going to stick to you this morning talking about the environment as a biblical issue. That's where we're going to hover most of our time today, and why we would even talk about it on a Sunday morning during a sermon series like this one is that the environment is a biblical issue. Now, I'm going to be straight up with you this morning. I'm not going to tell you my particular opinion and what I think about the environment, climate change, global warming, and whether it is caused by man-made causes or reasons. So I don't want to disappoint you here a little bit for that, but we're just going to hover on some of the Bible verses that are going to give us some perspective on what we are supposed to think and do and how we're supposed to act and pray regarding what God wants for us from the Bible. So the reason why I'm not going to give you my full opinion on that is because for the last 2 weeks, I've done a lot of reading in preparation for this series. And what I discovered was that there are evangelical Christians who believe in climate change and man-made global warming, and evangelical Christians who believe in climate change, but it's not caused by man. I came across atheists who believe that there is climate change happening that is caused by man, and I came across articles that were written by atheists who do not believe in climate change and whether or not it is caused by man. And so all the perspectives are out there, and I didn't want to necessarily come up here and say this is exactly the one, because frankly, I am not formally trained in environmental science, and I want to be able to provide some perspective for us to be able to engage in the world in a biblical way. And so that's our goal this morning. Thank you so much for tuning in. So here's what I'm going to do. We're going to walk through some Bible verses over the next 10 minutes, and we're going to talk about it from three different perspectives: from a creator perspective, from an ownership perspective, and then from a personal perspective. So let's take a look at some of them that we have here. We're going to start on the very first page of our Bible, Genesis 1:1. I'm going to be reading these verses from the ESV version. So if you would like to follow along, I believe that you'll be able to capture some of those verses on the screens. But if you would like to follow along at home, that is great. We're going to read the very first verse of the Bible, we're going to read from the ESV version. Here we go. In verse 1, it says, "In the beginning." And so that takes us all the way back from to the formation of the earth. It says, "God created the heavens and the earth." God created the heavens and the earth. Now, what does this mean? What is the perspective that we're supposed to gain from that? Now, Genesis, throughout the book of Genesis, the author consistently writes of God from a monotheistic perspective, which is a very marked contrast between other documents that existed in ancient culture. And so there's a lot of other ancient literature out there that speak of there being multiple gods, a god of the sun, a god of the sea, a god of the earth, god of the moon, and so on and so on. The list is pretty long, but the Bible is different in such a remarkably unique way that it refers to our God in narrowing our focus and context onto a central source of life and existence. And the word that's used for God here in Genesis 1:1 is Elohim. Elohim. Elohim is a, if we're going to put a definition to the term Elohim, it would be to think of a God, a single God, as the supreme being who exceeds all other variations. All other variations. I love that explanation or that definition of a God, because you can, by empirically looking at the world, see how some people would think, well, maybe this was this, maybe that was that. And all throughout ancient culture, that we see examples where people made observations about something and came to some sort of conclusion. But the wisdom of the Bible centralizes our focus into understanding that the world was formed by one supreme divine being, and his name is God, Elohim, and he is the one who formed it all. So what does that mean then? That means that God created the world and it was not an evolved world. We live in a world that was created with intentionality and purpose, that was beautifully and wonderfully made, not one that evolved to be where it is. And so that is foundational to one thing we need to believe about the environment. Now let's continue to look through the Old Testament here. Psalm 104 verses 1 to 5. I'm going to read these verses for you out loud again out of the ESV version and make a few comments on us. We begin in verse 1. "Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty, covering yourself with light as with a garment, stretching out the heavens like a tent. He lays the beams of his chambers on the waters. He makes the clouds his chariot. He rides on the wings of the wind. Verse 4, he makes his messengers winds, his ministers a flaming fire. Verse 5, he set the earth on its foundations so that it should never be moved," the psalmist writes. Of our God, the psalmist writes, which is so fun to read through some of the Psalms, especially in a moment of worship or when you're talking about the world that we live in. When you need a description of God, you can go to the Psalms and find one pretty quickly, because the Psalms are made up of so much poetry that describe how the world exists and how the world came to be. And here in verse 5, we see this recognition from the psalmist that the supreme God, the one divine being God who is the one who created the world and established its borders, is the one behind it all. And so from a very, very simple reading of Scripture, we see in this verse, and we can conclude two things: that God made the world, and the borders and the boundaries of this world are secure. We shouldn't worry about the world crumbling and falling apart, because God is the one who designed it to be exactly how it is. And God is the one who has determined how much there would be of one thing and how little there would be of another thing. And it's God's world. It belongs to him. He is supreme over all of it, particularly in his level of control over it. Now we're going to look at some more Old Testament verses here. We're going to go to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is wisdom literature. And in Proverbs 8, wisdom is personified as a woman who's making a speech. And I want to read a couple verses here in Proverbs chapter 8, starting at verse 27, again out of the ESV version. The proverb goes, starting verse 27, "When he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limits so that the waters might not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth." And there we see it again, just like we saw in Psalm 104, that the supreme God who is over all of the earth and who created the earth, he established it to work the way that he wants it to work when he marked out the foundations of all that he had made. You see, the earth did not evolve to be what it is. The earth was created to be the way that it is. And God, in his infinite wisdom, designed creation with the ability to glorify him so that we might be drawn to him. Now, I'm going to get to that third category here. I'm sorry, scratch that. I'm going to get to the second category here that I mentioned earlier. We're going to talk about ownership. Now, anything that God has made, he is the owner of. And we're going to talk a little bit about how God, in his ownership, has helped us to understand how we play a part in God's ownership of the earth. Now, God did not just create the world, but it belongs to him. He believes that the world believes the world is very special. He takes great care in the world that he has made. So we're going to go back to the book of Genesis. And we're going to read something out of chapter 14, verse 19. And this is an interaction between a priest king, Melchizedek, and Abram. And it's a very simple statement that is a clarifying word about the world and whom it belongs to. And so let's read Genesis 14, verse 19, where he says, "Blessed be Abram by God Most High." And so there we see God, who is also referred to again here as Elohim, the supreme being over all other variations or descriptions of our God, singular, who is over all. So by God Most High. And then we have a comma there that essentially should stop us there in our tracks and help us to understand that the very next thing that's going to come after that describes our God Most High, where he says, or who is the possessor of heaven and earth. And so our God Most High is the possessor of heaven and earth. And so this continuation of biblical perspective from the very first page all the way through generations of people, God wants us to understand he is the one who made the world. He is the one who owns it. He is the one who is in charge. This world belongs to him, not just as the one who made it, but the one who owns it as well. Now, we're going to jump into the New Testament here. I know I'm flying through here, but I'm just really excited today that we get to do this, and I'm just really excited that we didn't have to cancel church and forsake meeting together, whether it be in person or online. So let's take a look at 1 Corinthians 10:26. I love this verse because this verse right here actually creates a bridge between the two testaments. And the reason why bridging between the two testaments is really important, because we see a continuation of thought, which for us is really beneficial, because as God describes one thing in the Old Testament, we look for signs and markings and interpretations and context in the New Testament for how we are supposed to believe. So here we see in 1 Corinthians 10:26, he writes, "For the earth is the Lord's, and all the fullness thereof." The earth is the Lord's and all the fullness thereof. And this 1 Corinthians 10:26 is a quote from an Old Testament psalm in Psalm 24, verse 1. Now, I love bridging texts like that because they bring so much clarity for how we are supposed to understand God, for how we are supposed to see the things that are around us. And so what is true throughout both of our Testaments, both Old and New Testament, the Bible is very clear that there is no other way to view the world other than God has created it. And God is the one who owns it. This world is not an evolved world. It is a creative world. And it is a created world. And it has been beautifully and masterfully made by a supreme divine being, one true God, Elohim. We worship him when we gather together as a church. Now, here's the third part that I mentioned. We're going to do three parts, and this last one is perspective. Now, all of us need some perspective when it comes to how we view the things that are happening around us. And the Bible is so good at making sure that we understand perspective when it comes to this world that we live in. Now, this passage of scripture that I'm going to read next is out of the book of Job. And I love this passage so much. It's actually the one that I am the most familiar with out of the book of Job. It's in Job chapter 38, verses 4 through 7. And this is a conversation happening between God and Job that really gives some great perspective for us when it comes to understanding the world. And I'll start in verse 4. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding. Verse 5. Who determined its measurements? Well, surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone? Verse 7. When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. I love this perspective here that we see in Job chapter 38, because we see the supreme and divine God saying to Job, hey, know your place here. This world is a world that I have made. I am the one who is in control of it. I am the one who owns it. Period, with a punctuation mark. I love that passage. And the reason why I saved this one for last is because it really does capture all of those three categories of thinking that we see through the Old and New Testament about how we're supposed to view the earth, the environment, the world that we live in. God made it, and the earth is not an evolved earth. It is a created one. Number two, God is in control of it, and he is the one who determined how much there would be and how little there would be in other ways. He's the one who's determined the boundaries and the borders of this earth that we live on. And number three, the Bible reminds us that we need to know our place in this world. We need to know where we fit in. We need to know how we are a part of it. We need to understand through perspective what we are supposed to do. Now, I'm going to actually read one more verse for us today and give a little bit of illustration explaining what we can do next. So we're going to go back to the book of Genesis again for the third time. And in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 27 and 28, we see this purpose statement that was given. But you could say of our marching orders or our living orders when it comes to being on this earth and living according to how God wants us to live. And so in verse 27, he writes, so God created man in his own image, the image of God he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. I did a little study into this verse in the last 2 weeks and wanted to share with you a word that I just found so fascinating. The Hebrew word for subdue in verse 28 is the Hebrew word kabash, which means to make subject or subservient or to be in control of. And so what God said here is the earth that I have made is an earth that you need to take control of. An earth that you need to subdue, an earth that you need to master, and even master for your own benefit. So what does that mean? Well, that means that God is the one who made it. God is the one who owns it. And so God is the one who has the privilege to give to us exactly what he wills and wants. But when he does, he gives it to us with a tremendous blessing that comes as a result of it. He says, hey, here's what I have made. You can use it. Hey, here's what I have made. You can live in it. You can take care of it. You can command authority over it. And you have this special place of privilege in the world that we live in, which is pretty amazing when you think about it. There's no other created thing that has been given such an awesome blessing of being put in a world that God has made, who rightfully owns and who can will whatever he wants, given some responsibility to mankind. So when we farm the world, when we raise livestock, when we utilize the earth's many resources for our benefit, we are walking out God's command for humanity in a good way, in a good way. Now, I know that I just spent the last 10 minutes reading through different verses in the Old Testament and New Testament, but it's super important that we never forget God is the one who owns this world. God is the one who created this world. And as creatures who live in this world, as humankind who live in this world, we need to make sure that as we use it, as we receive the benefits of it, as we subdue the earth, we need to do so with a right perspective. And so I'm going to illustrate that this morning by finishing us out in this sermon through just talking a little bit about how we can best keep a biblical perspective on the world that we live in, but also walk out the responsibility and the privilege that we have of subduing the earth that we live in. So I don't know if you guys know, but this April, coming up next month, is the 50th anniversary of Earth Day. And I was a bit of a surprise to me when I found that out. Now, Earth Day started in 1970. That was before I was born. Insert groans, right? And come on, you can groan with me here for just a minute. Yeah, it was before I was born. So I've never lived a year on this earth without the presence of Earth Day being celebrated in some way. I remember coming up all the way through elementary school, Earth Day was celebrated in our schools. We usually had to draw pictures of the earth and talk about different things in the earth. When I was in middle school, there was this cartoon that came out whose name was Captain Planet. And Captain Planet, you knew that he came out in the early 90s because Captain Planet had a mullet. I get a shout out from anyone in the room who had a mullet in the 90s. And Captain Planet had a mullet. And he had this line that was a part of his song that went something like this. Captain Planet, he's our hero. Gonna take pollution down to zero. And so this is why I'm not in the band and sing. But Captain Planet, he had this really catchy song. And it was definitely something that influenced a lot of kids. So today, we have political candidates who had made their careers around environmental issues. Not only did we just experience, all kinds of messages about the earth and what we should think about it all throughout our entire lives, but even today, we have people who have been elected to offices and people who have influenced industry in some pretty potent and powerful ways. The general tone ever since 1970 with the creation of Earth Day has been that the earth is in a crisis. And I know that for most of you, when you submitted the questions for this cultural issue series, that you thought we were going to address climate change, global warming, man-made this or that, and how we're supposed to have a good perspective on it. But honestly, I'm not entirely sure exactly how to wrap all of that up into one key thought or specific way of explaining the environment to the world that's around us. Now, I know that you want to hear a little bit about my perspective, so I'm going to be transparent with you this morning and tell you just a few things about what I think and then illustrate what we can do moving forward. So I'm going to tell you a story. A couple years ago, just to illustrate my point, I'll tell you this story. A couple years ago, I went through my ordination exam. And the ordination exam happens when you sit down at a table and there's five men from the denomination who sit around and they fire questions at you for 2 hours. It's a bit intimidating and you never really know how it's going to go. You never really know the perspective. You hear all these horror stories of guys who've come before and then other people who have done it before, they say it was totally fine. Don't worry about it. But generally, you go to these things very prepared. And so I was prepared. One of the first questions they asked me was about the scripture, and they essentially asked me what the scripture was, and I explained that I believe the scripture is the word of God, inerrant, infallible, useful for teaching, rebuking, and training in righteousness, and so I went in with all of my thoughts put together, But about 5 or 6 questions into this oral exam, one of the guys across the table asked me, he said, "Hey, do you believe in man-made global warming?" And I'm thinking, I'm being punked. Like, why in a doctrinal exam about the Bible is this guy asking me whether or not I believe in man-made global warming? And I remember sitting there beginning to sweat, thinking, okay, is this going to affect the outcome of whether they vote me in or out? Is this, does he have some agenda hidden underneath that question that I'm not really sure I know how to interpret or whatever? And I looked at him and I said, I don't know. And which is a question you're normally not supposed to give in an oral exam when you're trying to be ordained. But I said, I don't know, but I've been to some places in the world where they have certainly ruined things. And he asked me for a little bit of clarity on that. And I explained to him, I have a picture up here that you might be able to see on the screen behind me. This picture is a picture that I took on a missions trip to one of our international ministry partnership locations. And this is one instance of what can happen in a place when you don't deal with the waste that you produce. If you go to the next picture, you'll see in that very same city, a picture of one of the streams that go through that city completely burdened by the lack of care when it comes to trash removal, and what you do with the water. And so I was explaining to this guy, I was like, I think what he was trying to get at was my perspective on the environment, but what my perspective on the environment is that it's here, it is valuable, we need to treasure it, but as a human being, we can definitely ruin it sometimes, right? When you see things like this, you begin to see that water at one point in time was a very valuable resource here, and now in this particular situation is become something that is a burden. And so my perspective for you today is not so much to care about whether or not we have all of exact wording right when it comes to the way that we interact, other than the biblical perspective. God made the world. It's not an evolved world. God owns the world, and we submit to his ownership of the world. And then as a group of Christians, we take responsibility for the way that he has planted us here and given us the privilege of working it and subduing it and taking control of it. But we have to do it wisely, right? We have to take care of this with responsibility. And so here's something that I want to just have you think about for just a moment. If someone stands up on a platform and says, we should care for the environment, a Christian should say, you're right, we should. Why? Because the environment is something that God has given to us as a resource. He made it. Did not evolve to be this way. That changes our perspective. The environment, the world that we live in, is something that God owns. And because he owns it, he is the one who is able to portion it out and give us some co-ownership and responsibility of it. And so the problem I think we run into, and this is where we'll get into the cultural issue stuff, is that sometimes people stand on platforms and they say, you should care for the environment. And we don't always like all the other things that that person stands for. And so sometimes we keep them at an arm's length, or we don't acknowledge some of the things that they're saying, and we maybe reject them because of other perhaps hidden agendas they might have or political leanings that they might have that are not exactly the same as ours. And it creates all of this tension in our culture. And I've had a few times over the last 2 weeks when I thought, we're talking about the environment in a cultural issues sermon series. What exactly is the issue? Christians, come on. What exactly is the issue here? Do we live in a world that's been made by God? Shout it through your screen at me. Come on, I know you're out there listening. Do we live in a world that's been made by God? Yeah. Yeah. Do we live in a world where God owns, or that God owns? Yeah. Yes. And do we have a responsibility to take care of it? Absolutely we do. Environment is a precious resource that has been given to us. So here's what you're going to walk away with. You ready? Here we go. Here's my statement. Statement of the week, even though there's been lots of statements this week, and I know that there's a lot going on, but when it comes to opening up your heart to this particular issue, here's what I want you to think about. Steward the earth like you steward your money. Steward the earth like you steward your money. Let me explain that for just a second. If you have money, does it mean that you will never run out of your money if you're not careful? No. If you're not careful with your money, it could run out, right? So we need to steward it by making wise decisions with what we've been given. You need to believe that every time you have a decision to make about money, that there is a difference between a wise decision and a poor decision, right? Every time you make a big purchase, or every time you spend $100 here or $100 there, there is a difference between making a wise decision and an unwise decision. We need to steward the earth like we steward our money. We should save some of it, just like we do with our money. We should keep tabs on the way that we're using it, just like your money. We spend, but we keep tabs. We see where it's going. We see how much we've used. We see how little we've saved. We see all the good and the bad that comes from it. Just like we view money as a resource, we need to view the environment as a resource. We should also recognize that if we run out of it, it's going to make life hard. Yeah? Anybody agree with that? If we run out of what we have, it's going to make life a little bit different or difficult. So stewardship, just from a general point of view or perspective, is caretaking, not abuse. And so we intelligently manage our resources that God has given to us, and we do it diligently. Why? Because we live in a world that God has made. We do it diligently because it belongs to Him. We do it as an act of submission, as an act of praise, as an act of authority, because God is the one who is the authority over all, and we submit to His. We steward the earth like we steward our money in every season of life, every opportunity that we get to steward it with. We think about our resources as something valuable, and so we thank God for them. Yes, it's true. It's going to be hard. It's not going to be easy all the time because we sin. The earth is suffering the consequences of sin. And so, yeah, there's going to be times when we don't really know what to do. We don't really know what side to stand on. We don't really know which way to lean. And so we're going to bump into issues related to the environment because it's not just a biblical one. It very quickly becomes a political one and a personal one and an emotional one, an economic one, an educational one. But we need to remember first of all that caring for the environment is a biblical one because we live in a world that's not evolved to be the way that it is. It was created to be the way it is. We live in a world that is owned by our God. And because of His ownership, He has the authority to give to us what He wants. And by His mercy, we are thankful that He decided to help give us some responsibility, not help, but He gave us some responsibility in caring for it. It's a beautiful place. And so, should we care that the 422 corridor knows that we care about the earth? Yeah, absolutely. People should drive by like, wow, there's a church that cares for the earth. That is actually a bridge to have some pretty amazing conversations with people. Now, you can stand with someone who says, I care about the earth, and this person could say, I care about the earth, but you could find yourself in a situation where you actually disagree. Why? I just want to challenge you. Don't let the why stop you from walking out the responsibility that we have to submit to God, to in obedience, subdue, and to care for the earth as though it is a resource given to us by God and is valuable. Steward the earth like you steward your money. We take care of it. And I'm going to pray for you guys. We're going to end the sermon here, and then we'll head out. Lord, thank You so much that You have given to us such a valuable resource for us to use. I thank You so much that You have given us the responsibility to be the caretakers or co-caretakers of this beautiful world that we live in. Thank You so much that that there's wisdom to be found in how we do that. We thank You so much for the way that You guide and direct all of our thoughts when it comes to the world that we live in. God, help us as a church, as a community, as a kingdom full of ambassadors, Lord, that we would really just care for the environment in the way that You most desire us to. Lord, help us to never forget the mission of making disciples. God, help us to never find ourselves just in positions where we're just further and further away from people, God, but because You have died for us and we want everybody to hear that message, God, that we would move towards them. And I pray for anyone in this room who, as they move towards others, would get awesome opportunities to explain to people why caring matters. Well, because it matters, because it's for you, God. I pray that you would help us to just always, always, always remember in conversations that we have with people to remember that you matter above all other things. And we do the things that we do here on this earth because of you, because you've given us the privilege, given us the right, the responsibility to care for the things that you've entrusted to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. It's been a privilege to be with you. We'll see you later.